had a part-time staffer there.
All right, let's call this meeting of the executive committee to order Tuesday, January 24. Welcome all. With us today we have Councilman Smiley, Councilman Kilpatrick, Councilman Dave. Powers, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street, Councilman Tacky, Councilman Cartier, and of course Councilman Ray.
Hey.
Grant Firestone. First item for business approval of the minutes of January 10th meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes are approved. Moving on, item three. I'd like to invite up Greg Wilson for a discussion of the Glasgow State Park.
Thank you. I think John Husband's going to do a brief update on where we are with Park first.
State Park.
And then to the extent we're going to talk about liability, I can follow up with that. John Husband with Special Services Department. You probably also recently saw the newspaper article about all the kids that were rollerblading, skateboarding, scootering, everything you could imagine in the skate park that we recently constructed. Took us all by surprise. Had no idea. We knew there was a need. I mean, the community has been great requesting this and working with the council and the executive office to actually get this thing constructed. But we had no idea what a great asset this was going to be and the number of kids that were out there just dying to use it. What I thought I'd do, because of the 150, 200 plus that showed up long before the skate park was even completed, it caused a little consternation. What I want to do is kind of update you on where we are with that and follow up on some of the information that I had presented to you. Why isn't that working? I originally had given you an update back in 2010 as we were discussing the park. I told you about the people that I had interviewed through our research that we had done, exhaustive research over about an 8-year period. I talked to the users, which you can see there, private concessionaires, government agencies. We actually talked to a mayor's office and we talked to park directors. These were the facts that we had given you back in 2010. And this is based on the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. Latest data at this point was on 2009, but it gave you the injury rate for some of the facilities that you find within our parks. As you can see, skateboards is down low on that list. However, there's a lot more amenities, but you can see some of the typical items that we build are much higher than that. The participation, because you obviously there's a lot more people that play football, soccer than there are that do skateboard, so we broke it down into percentage injured. So even though skateboarders at this point with 1999 data were a much lower number of users, it still came out to a much lower percentage of injury rates. And then this was done by the American Sports Data Association in 2004 that just showed the injuries per activity. And what I have highlighted there is the skateboarding. And as you can see right above that is the tennis. These are the facilities that we put on our parks on a regular basis. Every one of those is ranked higher in injuries than skateboarding. We do have a problem with some people. We do have people that try to sled.
That was a while back.
They try to sled when there's no snow, or they insist on jumping off of moving swings. What we did is we did a random sampling of similar agencies throughout the country, similar to Newcastle County. East Coast, Midwest, West Coast, and then the local area. These were phone interviews that we did July, August of 2010. We just updated them January of 2012. And the jurisdictions that we called were Raleigh, North Carolina, Ocean City, Maryland, West Springfield, Massachusetts, West Palm Beach, Florida, North Rock, Little Rock, Arkansas, Champaign, Illinois, Austin, Texas, Colorado Springs, San Diego, Portland. In 2012, we added Gaithersburg, Maryland, Norfolk, Virginia, Baltimore, Maryland, Lancaster County, PA, and this is interesting, not built yet, but they love what we've done, and they finally decided to move forward to Newark, Delaware. The findings on the left are what I had originally presented to you based on whether the facilities were attended, whether they were fenced, if there was a user fee, injuries, lawsuits, and then insurance purchased. There was no changes reported. So over a two-year period, the biggest thing were the injuries reported. Yes, there's injuries. Keeping in mind that some people think that a serious injury is a broken wrist. Others think that it's a broken collarbone or a smashed head or whatever. So there's a little discrepancy on what the actual magnitude of the injury is. But the key thing was lawsuits, and still to date, no lawsuits that we've been able to find. On the right side is the additional five that we called. And as you can see, they pretty much line up. Obviously, there's not going to be any lawsuits for the one that's not built yet and insurance purchased. None of them have done that. And the Newark Parks and Recreation Department was held up from building their skate park because their insurance carrier concerned about the liability issues and was going to charge them more. Their insurance carrier has actually told them, we're not going to charge any more. We've done our research and we find that it's fine. That's why Newark is moving on right now. Mark Calder, with one of the advocate groups that we've worked with, had done some of his research back in June of 2010 about whether some facilities were fenced or manned. By saying manned, that meant something that was monitored by some force. Also, Franklin Payne, which is a nonprofit, I believe, that supports a lot of the skate parks in the area, they just received a $1 million grant from Philadelphia Parks and Recreation. They also keep a database on a lot of the other parks in the area. And every one of these here, which is very close to this area, they maintain a skate at your own risk and a protective equipment strongly recommended policy. They also...
Councilman Smile?
I just want to ask, because looking at the terminology, and maybe this is better left Greg, but I think if you're... I kind of like the idea of the recommended instead of required, because if you put required, that implies you're going to have enforcement powers. So I make that observation. I guess we'll hear more about it later.
I'll show you that.
I think that plays better to where we want to go.
And none of these have direct supervision. They're all unmanned facilities. Portland, Oregon, if you remember, we had a statement. The mayor's office sent us a statement, and I even gave out the email and the phone number to anybody that wanted to talk to the mayor of Portland. They've got a master plan for 19 skate parks. He'd be more than willing to talk to anybody that has any concerns about it. This was what they put into their master plan. As you can see, what I have highlighted there is they're gonna build 19 of them. That was an opening that's similar to Glasgow when it wasn't opened on Thanksgiving Day. Marsh Creek Skate Park. These are ones that I have visited personally and interviewed the kids, talked to the parents. These are the very similar facilities that they have. Park City Skate Park out in Park City, Utah. Kettering Skate Park in Ohio, which is near Dayton. Denver, Colorado, February of 2011. This is the one where I was amazed at how so many people could do so many things together and not have any problems, including the one in the middle. As you can see, one of the They used their dogs as carriages. They would stand on the skateboard with their leashes and have them pulled around the park. And then you have everything from kids on their scooters to the bicycles to the real crazy bicycle guys on top of an electric box. This was just phenomenal. They went and got the cones for me because they all wanted to show off about how high they could jump. And I had a lot of pictures I didn't put in here. They each wanted to take turns. I just went to this one in January, just actually 2 weeks ago, down in, it's called the Factory Skateboard Shop in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's a private facility. I interviewed the owner or the concessionaire of that who runs it. He gave me his liability form. He had this big sign that said, helmets are required, 3 strikes and you're out. And I went in there and I saw maybe 5 kids with helmets on. I asked him, and he says, that's just, he just kind of blew it off. It's just something you ask them to do, you strongly recommend it. They just, some of them do it, some of them don't. And they were doing some pretty crazy tricks in there. And there was parents in there taking pictures just like I was. I didn't feel out of place. This is what we have built, and there it is. Not yet complete. What has caused the big stir with all of the people showing up is the fact, and I think you saw my quote in the paper, it's like putting candy on a counter, walking away and telling the kids not to touch it. This thing is ready to skate, it's ready to go, and we've kind of put up a temporary fence and said stay out. This park is phenomenal. This was this past Friday, and as you can see, nobody was there, and if everybody remembers, Friday was a great day. So the work we've done to keep people out has done well. What I did is I've got some pictures of some of the rules of conduct in different skate parks, where they talk about, you know, with the BMX bikes, they got to use plastic pegs. They don't use the full, the metal pegs because of the damage. Holly Farm Skate Park, which is in Portland, they allow, this one allows BMX bikes, but only with soft pegs. Same Portland parks, but a different park. They don't allow bikes at all. This was the Denver skate park, and it's an unmanned facility. And these are the rules that they put up. Marsh Creek, these are the rules that they had. Mount Trashmore, which is in Virginia Beach. This was another unmanned with just everybody using the thing. These were the parents sitting there. As you can see, I think there was only one that was actually watching them skate. The rest were doing their own little thing. This was their general guidelines that they had decided to put in. And of course, they told everybody they had to ride at their own risk and that helmets are required. This is the Park City, Utah skate park. That's their sign, and they talk as a non-supervised facility, and be willing to entertain any questions on some of the data I got, but rather than the end, this is the beginning. The kids are dying to get out there, and I think we've all seen that over the past month or so.
Any questions, member of council? Councilman Tackett, the council.
Thank you, Mr. President. John, you know, I just want to commend you on a very well done presentation. I mean, I cannot remember, you know, as you very much well know, and pretty much everybody, you know, I was pretty active in the community for a long time before running for office, and I can't remember a time whenever we added an amenity like this that was so heavily received, and people waited so long to get in this. I mean, you know, the overall park in general, it's standing room only a lot of times down there, but the single, you know, amenity like this at skate park is just, everybody's talking about it. It's everywhere you go, people are asking, every meeting, you know, like hit me on Facebook or whatever, you know, when's it going to be open, when can we use it? And you're exactly right, you know, it was something to put down there. They've waited so long to get, you know, it got put off for a while, you know, funding issues and contractual, and you trying to get, you know, the best person out there, and you were working on funding. You did a phenomenal job on funding, and the community's been super great in there, you know, offering support, you know, helping with research, data, and documentation, you know, getting back to us, and certainly the, you know, we're not reinventing the wheel here, and you more than certainly proved that.
Thank you, Councilman. I'd like to also welcome Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Weiner, and Councilwoman Diller alerted us to her absence. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank John for doing this presentation again. I just hope this is the last time we have to do it. All of this information was made available to us before. However, the discussion and emails among council members over the last several weeks gave the impression that somehow this was the first one to be built in the country. We've gone through that. When you compare it to the other injuries that may happen, I don't think we're going to ever make ourselves lawsuit-proof. The fact of the matter is, when you put the data together and you look at the other sports that are going on, A skate park is far less dangerous, far less historically than any of these other things. If we don't bring that kind of fear, I think we have a responsibility to be safe and to make certain that we don't encourage a lawsuit. But to go to the extent that we have gone to, I think is unreasonable, far overboard. Just last week, last Tuesday, as a matter of fact, and I agree with Councilman Tackett, I was down at Troop 468, Browning Troop, and been in the States and speaking to a group of Brownies. And when I asked, mentioned that park, who had visited that park, talking about some of the things we provide, every little girl sitting around that table, 14 of them, all put their hands up. It's highly anticipated. I think that we are really our own worst enemy here in some of the places where we're going with this. You know, I don't know what happens in Newport, but for I don't know how many years, a decade, I believe, you know, you drive there, there's a skate park underneath 95 or whatever, 141. So we're acting somehow as if nobody's ever done this before. Skate parks are going to break the county's bank. I just think that's unreasonable. I think that, in my opinion, these conversations so far has led to an unnecessary degree of I don't know what to call it, but it's just there's no factual basis to behave the way we have behaved in the last few weeks regarding the skate park. I mean, we've had this information. John is coming back before to present this information. It's virtually the same since we had it 2 years ago. So I'm trying to figure out what is it that we're so afraid of that's realistic. And I just quite frankly don't see it.
So thank you, Councilman Hollins. Councilman Bell?
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. I don't think there's anything that we do in this county as far as providing community services that doesn't come with a responsibility of maintenance, management, and associated liabilities. But I think that this has been very well thought out, very well planned. Special Services has taken and done a tremendous amount of research on this. I've said it from the very beginning, and I'll say it again, supported 100%. I think that this is something that our younger adults need and younger kids need in the community. I'd much rather see them in our park and having a first-class quality facility than having to go into shopping centers and different areas to attempt to use things that really are not safe for them to skateboard. So I think this is a win for the county. It's a win for the community. We're doing the right thing, and I'll continue to support it.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. That's one of the my office has been contacted about this. That was the biggest concern that I heard, is not that we were building a park for the proper use of skateboards, is that without such a park, people would have to continue to use places that aren't designated for it, where you're not expecting them, in other parks where kids and other, they're not expecting that type of activity. Where it is set forth and was designed for that purpose, I think it gives the folks an appropriate outlet for that activity, and I echo the comments of previous council. Councilman Smiley?
I just want to clear the air a little bit. My concern about this from day one has been fiscal, the cost, and I haven't made any secrets about that. I mean, it is with everything, it's just the way I am. From day one, I've been interested in this. The very first meeting was in the Bear Library with myself, Dave Tackett, Chris Coons, and some people representing skate parks, if you remember. We met at the Bear Library about three or four years ago on it. And I resigned myself that we have a liability no matter what. I mean, my goodness, thank you to the law department. We just got clear of being sued for somebody sliding down a hill. So if we can put a pile of dirt out there and get sued, we'd surely get sued with this. My additional concern came up because over the last couple of months, and I'm pleased to see this, and we'll see what it just new year was, I was starting to get the feeling that the comfort level that I priorly felt coming from the administration is not there. That there wasn't that comfort level with our liability situation and the safety of it. That's why my additional concern came, because I had a very good comfort level after the last presentation years ago. But the last month or so, I wasn't getting that out of the administration. So hopefully I get that. I'm getting that with this. I see the numbers, but again, feeling that comfort level out of our law department and everything gives me, you know, some composure as well.
I think we had some reaction and wanting to clarify for the record. So, Mr. Wilson.
Greg Wilson, County Attorney. I was asked to address some of the questions regarding liability that council has had. And Councilman Smiley has had some questions. Councilman Weiner has had some questions. Councilman Weiner and I had a very good meeting in which we discussed lawyer to lawyer some of the issues. And I think we have a meeting of the minds on the issue. Let me just, and I'm just going to do a brief primer on municipal liability. As John Husband has pointed out, we're engaged in a lot of sports. And so I look at it more broadly than just the skate park. We have the sledding hill that Councilman Smiley has referred to.
And, they're interchangeable, it's okay.
It's no surprise.
Yeah, get on my good side.
Thought I already was.
It's no surprise that there aren't any private people or companies out there putting sledding hills up. And the reason is because everybody in this day and age is worried about financial liability. Even if you get sued and you win, you still have to hire a lawyer. It's expensive and so forth. And the General Assembly has recognized this and in certain areas has encouraged municipalities like the county, which is considered a municipality under as a legal term, to be engaged in outdoor recreation. So we have a limitation on liability related to facilities constructed for outdoor recreation. And we had a recent claim regarding the sledding hill, and we quickly were able to have that dismissed based on our immunity that we have with regard to outdoor recreation facilities that we operate. We have a very strong immunity. It protects us. That's why the sledding hill case was dismissed. That's why we will still have sledding later this year if we ever have snow again. So I think from a standpoint of worrying about the skate park liability, the skate park as itself is an outdoor recreation facility and we have a strong immunity. Now some other questions have been raised, like should we pass a law requiring helmets? Well, if we're going to do that, are we just going to do this in the skate park? Are we going to do it in all our other parks? They raise a number of questions, and so the whole issue becomes even more complicated. Plus, if you pass a regulation like that, then who's going to enforce it? Are the police going to arrest kids? Are we going to station people there to do it? So again, you don't decrease your liability, you tend to expand it by whether or not you're going to enforce these rules that you pass. Same issue with regard to having an attended park. Well, then we're not talking about more than just the outdoor recreation facility. We're talking about managing it, and is it being managed well and so forth. So a lot of the issues were looked at by John. We patterned after what the majority of the facilities are, which is an unsupervised facility with a very strongly worded signs indicating that that skateboarding is somewhat dangerous and indicating that people are strongly recommended to wear protective gear and so forth. So in conjunction with what the studies John has seen, it seems like a reasonable approach based on our generally accepted outdoor recreational immunity. I don't believe that the liability concerns we have are that great, and I'll be happy to handle any questions that council has regarding.
Yeah. Councilman Weiner?
Yes. Greg, I'd like to thank you and also John for the additional research that you've done since the last presentation. John, the encompassing review of the signage elsewhere at the other parks will improve the signage that would have been there otherwise. It, much like we've done with our dog parks, they've sort of morphed over the years. And I'm pleased, having done some extensive research, and also Policy Director Jim Boyle, having done some research, as we spoke beforehand, lawyer to lawyer, I reached the same conclusions you have as well, and I think it's been a good process, and we're all better off for it.
Very good. Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Any other member of council have any questions, comments? Mr. Wilson?
Nothing further.
Councilman Smiley?
John, when is your proposed opening date?
John Husband's
Special Services. I've been asked that 5,000 times now.
5,000 once.
Facebook, on everything else, including Friday. I can tell you the contract is officially up March 24th. There are punch list items that the contractor has left to do. We are looking at considering a partial acceptance of the skate park facility. because we don't want it, we're in a catch-22. If it's used and damaged before it's turned over by the contractor, we can't accept it. They can fix it. It gets used, it's broken, back and forth. I wish I could give you a date.
No, that's fine.
I guess I'm practicing to be a politician.
You don't need to hear that.
John, following up, what are there certain major issues yet to be complete? I mean, yet to be completed by the contractor at the park?
Yeah, if you go out there, you'll see a lot of equipment around the pond. The pond is still being lined. There's heavy equipment still out there. The parking lots are pretty much done. The skate park is pretty much done. There's still restoration issues. If the contractor were to beef up his forces and if it's good weather, we could be done in a few weeks. It's just, we can't go and tell them their means and methods to get it done. He does have a contract that says it goes to March 24th. But we're trying.
And any major problems with anything that's been done? Does anything need to be redone or are we happy?
No, everything looks great.
Okay. Councilman Reddit and Councilman Tackett.
Thank you. John, was there any extras on this job by
extras,
the contractor?
No, actually, when we've already taken some money back for items we haven't even used.
Is that it, Councilman?
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Right now, I've been in conversation with the administration and County Executive Paul Clark, and right now, John actually has built into that contract that if he does not have that done on the 24th, John has heavy penalties built in for that, something that we haven't seen in a while. So we're actually planning the grand opening of the skate park for March 24th with the rain date of March 31st. So it's a date I've already coordinated with County Executive. Staff will be working on it too. And given that, you know, the contractor is ready to go, we'll have the grand opening. If not, John's got hefty penalties built in there, so that'll pay for the rescheduling.
Nice. Councilman Street.
Obviously, decisions have been made in sidebar conversations. I'm not going to get into sidebar agreements. I'm not going to get into a fight about it. And I'll be by myself. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, to put 150 to 200 kids somewhere unsupervised, this is not a good idea. If I'm looking at that picture and you got youngsters that age and nobody's in charge, you're asking for problems, and I think it would behoove us to give some consideration to having some supervision, especially during peak careers, which will obviously be established and documented based on the data. Now, look at those kids right there. So if they're out there with their parents, and it's Mr. Street, Mr. Holmes, Mr. Taggett. Now, when there's a discrepancy between the kids, who the hell's in charge? Taggett, Street, or Holmes? And you go from there.
That's me.
And then therein lies the problem. That's my point for me. Because we all gonna have the same view, and it's my kid, and da-da-da-da. So, the will of council is will of council. The administration has decided whatever. I'm just saying, from my vantage point, to put 150 to 200 kids somewhere unsupervised is not a good idea.
Councilman Smiley, did you still?
Yeah, I just wanted to make an off-the-cuff comment that, Councilman Taggett, I hope your thing goes well, but I'll be honest with you. If I can make money on it being late, I got no problem with it. You know, we can go to May and pick up a couple bucks. It's kind of like that.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, I was just going to add, you know, obviously, you know, county's not going to, you know, wander into this blindly or naively. You know, the situation's going to be monitored, you know, and obviously, you know, everybody's going to have some concerns. You know, John's done the research, you know, we're ready to launch this thing, it's ready to go. But I'll tell you, if you want to see more than 200 kids at any one given spot, come out to that sledding hill when you get 4 or more inches of snow. Kids are everywhere. They're parking everywhere. I've been up there one day. There was an ATV up there. And I told the guy, I was like, you know, you can't have this in the park. Where'd you come from? But dogs, everything. They have everything up there. And I bet there's probably 500 up there. It's
And only amazing. One suit is. That's good.
Any other questions, comments, members of council?
On top of the hill with ATVs.
See none, open the floor to the public for questions, comments. We'll go around the room, I guess counterclockwise. Ms. Willing, please state your name for the record.
Nancy Willing from Newark. I specifically recently hosted a panel of Newcastle County Union presidents. And I took the opportunity to ask them, because they feel like they're often short-staffed. They actually gave us numbers, and you know they're struggling to meet the growing county needs and whatnot. So I put it out there. Mr. Sheldon's oft-cited idea to charge a little bit of money for the use of our parks, maybe even specific uses of the parks, because especially a regional park in the edge of near Maryland, you are going to draw from other counties. And so, you know, in some form, and anyway, the people at this meeting were very much in favor of that idea, that rather than go short-staffed, rather than not have, like Mr. Street said, a monitor or help pay to offset some of the other costs, we could maybe consider, as going forward, that we could draw a user fee of some kind, maybe even just to automobiles that are out of state. So I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah. Thank you for that comment. Next public comment.
My name is Mark Baller from the Wilmington Skate Project. Speaking in to address Mr. Streets or Councilman Streets' comment, kind of speaks to the need of more facilities, and we would encourage that to be considered in the future. And you know, it's easier to do satellite. We encourage satellite parks that are smaller and easier to do, so it would help to disperse those numbers of users. But yes, it's going to be a popular place, and it really demonstrates the need, and because it's an underserved valid recreation. And you know, I compliment Parks Director and the council members who support, and because it's been a long time coming. And speaking personally, my kids are adults now, so you know, I mean, they'll still use it, but I'm glad to see it, and I appreciate it.
Thank you for your comments. Any reaction to the payment for admission into the parks?
Yeah, I'd like to
state react. Your name for the record, please.
My name is Ben Jones. I live in Wilmington, part of the Wilmington Skate Project. I want to commend council and especially Jonathan Husband for all their work on this and for the direction they've taken. I've been skateboarding for a very good part of my life, and you know, throughout the years, skateboarders have pretty much just wanted to be treated like any other sort of recreators, like a basketball player or a tennis player. And you know, I've done all of those types of things, and I've never gone to a municipal or a county or a you know city or state park and been asked to pay to play tennis or play basketball or toss a ball around on a baseball field. And you know, I think that the way that the skate park is heading is in the right direction, because if you look at Jonathan's statistics, you know, you can see that, you know, the injury rates are the same. It's the same type of people who are doing this, you know. You've got guys in their 30s like me who still play softball and baseball and still want to use those things, just like I still want to skateboard. And then you've got little kids who want to do it, who may not be able to afford the $5 a day to go skate, skate at their skate park that, you know, our taxpayer money has paid for. So I think that that the direction council is headed in is the right one for the county. And I also think that, you know, for the businesses and surrounding the park, it's going to be a great thing that this is a draw to them. Like that, you know, parents are going to bring their kids to the skate park and go out to lunch in, you know, one of the many restaurants and go shopping and all that type of thing. So I think it's going to have a, you know, a positive economic impact, even if we're not directly charging kids every day they want to go skate.
Thank you. Councilman Powers?
I don't think Nancy was looking at one venue. If you go into Glasgow Park, probably half the cars are from Maryland.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know, and Councilman Sheldon have relatives in Elkton and Cecil County, and they love Glasgow Park. So, you know, it should be something looked at. It's, you know, if you've ever been in that parking lot, look where they're from.
Yeah.
And they're not paying any taxes in this county.
Mr. President,
just waiting for the councilman to finish.
But we charge for Lums Pond, the state does.
Cape Henlopen.
All the state parks, and maybe we should be looking at it.
Thank you, Councilman.
I did want to say one thing. The leagues do pay, the softball leagues, the football.
I'm aware of that,
But that's another situation,
kind of
too.
Game,
I'm just saying, you know, with what comes into the park, mm-hmm. that's, I think, where Nancy's coming from.
Mr. Wilson?
Greg Wilson, County Attorney. We have discussed the idea of fees, not just in general, because the county parks have always been free to the citizens who pay their taxes. There has been a discussion because of the out-of-state license plates in Glasgow. The problem is that the state has rangers that they pay to have in their parks. We don't have any rangers, so that means we'd have to have people who actually enforce this, and so you have to end up with a cost-benefit where your actual enforcement cost becomes less than the amount that you're taking in. The other problem is that it creates safety hazards, because especially Glasgow Park is kind of open, and so what will the people do from out of state? They'll park somewhere else and walk across 40 or park along 40 and create a hazard. So it's, so far, although we've looked at it and are discussing it, it hasn't seemed to seem like it would be something that would be financially feasible and safe for us to do. But we're still looking at it, and if the numbers change considerably and it becomes more of a problem, maybe it'll be worthwhile to try to enforce that.
Okay, and I think we're probably getting a little off field here on the discussion of fees on this issue, so let's try to ramp this down specifically to the Glasgow Skate Park, Councilman Street. Councilman Street.
I can't follow that rule.
Oh. Again, I think we'll have plenty of time for discussions on those issues. It's a little off the agenda. I mean, it's
going to be under expense and round table.
There you go. Right.
That's one of the things I brought up.
I was going to go on the radio to talk about that tomorrow.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Do we have any other public comment on the issue? Skate park. All right, seeing none, let's move on. Item number 4. We received a request from the county executive to address council to make sure that there were no miscommunications or grumblings. I wanted to put that on the agenda, get that out there. There's been a request March 20th, 6 p.m., County Executive Clark to deliver his annual budget speech to County Council. Any member of Council have any questions or comments? Councilman Smiley.
I just want to comment that the budget address needs to take place in order for us to move forward with the budget hearings. So we've kind of coordinated the time so we can meet the time frame. We have to meet it for approval all 9 months.
I don't believe March 20th is any holiday or Valentine's Day or anything like that. So, any questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none, moving on to item 5 on the agenda, resolution 11-163. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, I notified by email later part of today all members of council and aides that this will remain tabled.
Thank you. Any questions, comments, members of council? Questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none, item 6, substitute number 1. To 12-001, member of the administration, please introduce yourself. And
Mr. President, thank you on how we're doing with human resources. We have a position of master mechanic in our special services department, plant operations. It's currently on the ask me level 16-07 pay plan and is scheduled for 35 hours per week. The person consistently works 40 or more hours per week. Under that collective bargaining agreement, the county has the right to increase that to a 40-hour regular work week. So in order to do that, we need to create this new pay plan for Aspen Local 1607, 40-hour work week. And we do have representatives here from Special Services. If you have any questions that you know, I can answer, they can answer for you.
Okay, thank you. And I guess, the in short, what is this... what does this measure do in this position? That it does it limit it then to a 40-hour work week for this position? Is that correct?
No, it creates a regular 40-hour work week for this person. If they work in excess of 40 hours, they would be paid the first time.
Okay, so now the current position is 35-hour.
35-hour per week. What we want to do is pay them the same hourly rate, but for a 40-hour regular work week.
Okay. And do we have, does this person currently get overtime if they go over 35 hours?
Yes.
Okay. So, and this person is, this position is working on a regular basis in excess of the 35-hour work week, so we're paying that person regularly overtime to perform that function?
That's my understanding. Although at this point they may be earning some comp time because of the differences in the 1607 contract. So for this fiscal year, they may earn comp time between 35 and 40.
Okay.
The problem is that they're limited in the amount of comp time that they can earn.
Okay. Councilman Bell, do you have questions?
Comments? Actually, she answered part of it on the hourly rate doesn't change, for the 40-hour. Local 1607 asked me, what's her position on this?
Is this on the contract?
No, right? It's in the contract. Human Resources Officer, we believe that they are supportive of it. They have launched no opposition whatsoever.
Councilman Retta?
Thank you. Contract. I'm just curious if anybody can answer it. You were mentioned that anything over the 35, they work for comp or pay. How is that going to be on the 40 hours? Are they going to be getting time and a half after the 40 hours, or are they going to be getting comp time?
Yes, they'll be getting time and a half for anything over 40, which they would get now.
Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public have any questions, comments on substitute number 1 to resolution 12-001? Ordinance 12-001. All right, seeing none, moving on, item 7, substitute number 1 to ordinance 12-002. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Kelly Tomchek from the Department of Special Services. Classification request for both the tree trimmer and tree surgeon positions was received by the Office of Human Resources to study the position. The study revealed that the incumbents in these positions were actually working within their job classifications of tree trimmer and tree surgeon. However, it was felt that the rate of pay was inconsistent with the rest of the skilled trades within the pay plan, specifically the Local 459 skilled trade pay plan. So the recommendation was made to upgrade the tree trimmer and the tree surgeon positions to equate them with the other skilled trades and the skilled trade supervisor positions within that pay plan, as they are skilled trades as well.
Councilman Retta?
Yes, and it is mentioned in the job spec that they are skilled trades.
Okay, Councilman Retta, then Councilman Powers?
About time.
Councilman Powers?
How many do we have?
There are 4 tree trimmers and 1 tree surgeon, so 5 altogether.
Councilman Bell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President. I'd just like to compliment Special Services and our HR department working in concert to take a look at these positions. These are professionals, and I think that to recognize what they do and put them at a level that's congruent with the responsibilities, I think is both deserve a lot of credit. Well,
any other questions, comments, Councilman Street?
I would respectfully suggest that if climbing a tree, wielding a chainsaw, in the craft and in the skill, then I don't know what is. So, because you couldn't print enough money for me to one, start up the train, so let, and two, climb a tree at the same time ain't gonna happen. So they need to get everything they can get.
That's cause somebody be cutting from the ground while you're in it, you know.
That's why it wouldn't go up.
Yeah.
Any other questions, comments, members of council? Any questions, comments, members of the public?
I'm not climbing that tree.
Seeing none, moving on, item eight. We have a request from an employee to shift their work hours. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Nellie has worked in the time that I've been here from 9:30 to 5. As circumstances change for her, she has requested that her work hours be changed from 8:30 to 4:30.
So there's a request for change from 9:30 to 5:30 to 8:30 to 4:30.
Same number of hours.
Same number of hours in the general work day?
I'll just need to come in earlier to greet her. Motion to approve.
She'll start back in.
Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. Any discussion from council? Councilman Street.
I just don't know why this comes before council. If the aide serves at the pleasure of the council person, if the council person wants them to work from midnight to 8 o'clock in the morning, that's between them and the council person. I don't get it.
Second.
I'll agree with that, too.
Any other questions, comments, members of council? We have a motion on the floor. We'll put this open to the public. Any questions, comments, and members of the public before we vote on that motion? Seeing none, motion has been made and seconded to approve change in hours from 9:30 to 5:30 to 8:30 to 4:30. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Are you all abstaining? All right. Very good. So moved, so approved. Moving on to item nine, other. Councilman Cartier?
Yes, it's a personnel issue. And I sent it, belatedly got an email to the personnel subcommittee, as I recall, the Councilman Kilpatrick, Councilman Shelner, personnel committee. As council should be aware, we are on the 1 year anniversary hiring of our council, Carol Doolin. Am I correct about that?
That's correct.
Okay, and I would just like to have the review of the employment engagement letter that we sent to her, because I think we made certain commitments after the first year with the good performance that we would, you know, look at, you know, step changes and so forth. So I would like to look to our, you know, personnel committee, review that and recommend to council actions for regarding our council, Carol Doolin and her 1 year anniversary date and commitments we made in the engagement letter.
Any other thoughts, comments, members of council? Any thoughts, comments, members of the public? Councilman Weiner?
I have another comment, but I'll second that sentiment from Councilman Cartier.
Okay. All right, so looks like you have another fun review process for your plate.
It was never officially voted in the committee, was it?
No, because maybe
Councilman Smiley.
Could I ask that each council member be provided a copy of the engagement letter in the interim?
I think it's on public record.
Okay.
Because we did enact that.
Well, even if it's not, I know we're entitled to it.
But yeah, well, I mean, we'll double check to make sure it's not it's privileged or and make sure if it's an engagement letter, I would imagine that it might not be. But if it's part of a personnel file, just make sure.
Okay.
That's
what we're doing for.
Yeah. Councilman Cartier.
And just for the record, I think Carol's performed extremely well this year for protecting the legal interest of this county council. And she's a very bright person with a lot of integrity and deserves to, continue on as our council. And I look forward to working with her in the future. Hopefully we can, move on with the, promises we made to her in our the engagement letter.
Look forward to a review and getting this on the soonest possible executive committee meeting to wrap this up. Councilman Weiner.
Thanks. Without going into details, I'd just like council members to know that my aide is on medical leave,
and just would like to publicly thank him for the services that he rendered and look forward to him coming back, and also thank Councilman Carty's aide, Christina Blumenthal, publicly for covering for Lou in his absence.
Thank you. All right. Anything else on our other? Councilman Street?
Did you think I was going to go without getting my liquor? As it relates to fees.
Yes, sir.
You needn't go any further than Canby Court. Okay? The point where the city had it in control and there was no fee, you had lines trying to get in the place. At the point where a dollar was charged, the place was a ghost town. So, when you start looking at fees, you always run the risk of the potential of creating something that is exclusive or cost prohibitive to children from low and moderate income households.
Councilman Carrier?
I want to agree with Councilman Street. I think we have a great policy and tradition in Newcastle County that our parks are open to the public as amenity that you get for being a resident of this county, and it's a great thing, and to change it is just very serious. To go to a fee structure would be a very serious thing for me.
Councilman Powers?
I just want to say I hope we can get a park in southern Newcastle County, since we're doing a great one for Cecil and Elf.
Because right now we got to travel to Glasgow.
That's right. We got to travel. It's closer.
Councilman Powers, I thought all of southern Sussex County was a natural park.
Sussex County?
Southern.
We tried to preserve our wetlands, but then you started developing on them.
Ms. Willing.
Is this public comment?
Sure.
Say that going into your duties with the comprehensive plan update that are coming up, an issue that gravely concerned me recently came to my attention, which is that on a large farm which is completely covered in historic overlay, and the record on the plan required a maintenance plan to keep the historic features, went into serious disrepair. Evidently, the granary on LaGrange Farm is gone, and there's no demolition permit that was ever issued to allow that. And the manor house was also degraded visibly, which allowed me to then have our inspectors act on that, and they did. And that's luckily that will be taken care of. But as I was discussing with Mr. Cartier, evidently Mr. Tackett and Mr. Cartier are going to make it a priority to look into anything that's had to do with demolition by neglect. But getting back to the comprehensive plan update, there is an opportunity going forward in the next 10 years for you guys to have your hands on this plan, and we do expect you to as our representatives. You know, it was developed through the Land Use Department under the executive, but you guys all have to carefully study what the public's asking you to do, and we're asking what the plan can be. The vision should be shared by everybody, and one area that I think would be a great help to prevent this in the future is to put some demolition by neglect into the code, some teeth into that. I've offered to submit to Mr. Cartier the demolition by neglect ordinance that the city of Newark put forward many, many years ago. And so hopefully, like I said, that's an area of the comprehensive plan that is not satisfactory to my view. And you guys could help, not just in the information phase, but you guys are going to have to contribute to the actual plan as it's worked in the next just few months. So that's all. I'm looking forward to sending the information to certain of you so that you can discuss it in your regular meetings.
Councilman Weiner and Councilman Cartier?
Yes. Councilman Cartier and I certainly share concerns about demolition by neglect. In fact, when Councilman Cartier was first elected, he attended a number of community workshops that I had around this table on demolition by neglect. With the assistance of Jim Smith, we came up with an array of legislation that would make up a comprehensive demolition by neglect package. And the then law department opined against it, and it died a death at that point. But I've still got my file from 10 years ago.
on that. Councilor Cartier?
When are we legally required to have passed the comprehensive plan update? What is our deadline? Do we have a deadline in state law for that? Or
it's a deadline in state law.
June-ish. Well, actually, the state just put together a law, if I can interject. You legally do not have to have
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Nancy Willing. There is no obligation for Newcastle County to submit a 2012 comprehensive plan update. That was put into effect in this, by statute in the Delaware Assembly last year and signed by the governor. The state planning office put forward this legislation and it was passed. The municipalities have always had a 10-year window. The counties have now been granted that 10-year window. We have a set plan for 2007. This plan that they're putting forward doesn't vary very much. You actually do not have any legal obligation whatsoever to put forward the 2012 plan. You can use it as a suggestion, you can use it as a template, you can work off of it, but there is no obligation to put it forward under state law as a present. Thanks.
Again, I appreciate, and we always welcome public comment on these issues. I think we're getting a little far afield of the executive committee and more into maybe land use, because I don't see our land use general manager here. So it won't be. I don't want to go further into this discussion without him present. Without those, but it's we hear your comments. And
I'll be happy to forward that statute. Everybody.
Great.
Yeah.
Councilman Cartier and then Councilman Sackett.
Good.
I'm sorry, Councilman Weiner.
Yeah.
Then Councilman Sackett.
I familiar with that legislation. My understanding is that once we fulfilled this 5-year obligation for the 2012 update, that then going forward, each of the counties has a 10-year window, but we're still under the obligation this time to file by June.
Okay. Again, without all the folks versed in that specialty here, I don't want to go down and lead the public to an impression that we have a determination on that. We still need to get a determination from that from our land use department and our legal staff. So we'll work to do that by our next Land Use Committee meeting. Councilman Tackett?
I was just going to add quickly that, yes, myself and Councilman Cartier have been working on the issue and been on it for a while. We've been engaged the council to council, and actually the current draft plan of the Comprehensive Plan, Chapter 7, our council has informed us that it does have some provisions in there that actually do strengthen historic preservation and this stuff. So that is an issue we have been working on.
Okay. Councilman Powers?
Yes, historic preservation, especially on ag buildings, really needs money, because right now most barns do not work on most farms, especially your older barns. They're more just something to look at. We can't run a piece of equipment in it. We can't park in it. It's a lot of times from a farm standpoint, tear it down and build something we can use.
All right. Any other questions, comments? Members of council, members of the public, do we have a
motion to adjourn?
Second.
Motion to adjourn, second. All in favor?
Aye.
We are nothing but code violations.